Ethel, are you there?
Oh, Lucy. Good morning, Lucy.
How are you, sweetie?
Oh, that was too funny. You were just a riot. How am I? Well, still sleep deprived. How about you?
Same. Well, actually, last night I finally got a really good night's sleep. All week long, good. I've still been adjusting. I think it was a combination of the excitement of the event, all the knowledge we took in, and then just the crazy schedule we had while we were over there. But good to talk to you again and finally have you on the program to kind of debrief after our amazing experience in Rome.
Yes. Oh, it's exciting. I just hope I can be coherent. I haven't slept in so long for various reasons, the accident and the trip and just, but I'll do my best.
Well, you sound great. And I told people at the top of the hour a little bit why I was going to play the theme song to I Love Lucy, because you and I, when we first got to the event, were kind of, how we say, clumsy. I mean, knocking over luggage, and I couldn't find my registration. It was under a different name. And then we were to get breakfast, and you broke the cappuccino machine, and it was just like one thing after another.
I don't think anybody really noticed. They were our private little things that were going on. But it was so funny, like just the trying to put the milk in the tea or the coffee, and it's spilling over. And I'm like, Teresa! And then you tried to get out of the gate, and we were trying to make it to the registration, and we don't know how these Italian gates work, and you're pushing buttons and this and that, and you said, Donna, what do I do? And I said,
push something. And here we are, these two women who are supposed to be so sophisticated, going over to Rome, and we're, you know, making a scene. But you know what? I think it was just the whole, for me, it was kind of the whole mood of the whole thing, because we just hit it off right away. It was the first time we actually met in person.
I know. We've known each other, it seems like about a year. I'm not sure exactly how long, and we've gotten very close over time, but it was just amazing to finally meet you and to spend that time together. I just feel like, you know, we're just sisters and so close. And how about getting rooms right next to each other?
Now that was amazing, because the complex that we were in was huge.
I wish I knew how many rooms were in that complex, because to end up right next to each other was amazing.
That was a real gift.
It was a real gift.
The whole week was a gift. I keep, you know, I can't stop thanking God, as I said in my newsletter, for the experience and the opportunity he gave us, not only to be together and to grow close as friends, but mostly to just learn from, you know, at the feet of some of the most brilliant minds in the church.
I know, and to be amongst people from all around the world, coming from all corners of the earth to gather for this conference was just truly amazing. It really felt like a dream in a certain sense, and my daughters, I took two daughters with me, as you know, to Rome, and they weren't at the conference, but they every day when I spoke with them or when we spent time together after the conference, I would keep saying, I still really can't believe I'm here. And finally on the last day, they said, Mom, do you believe you're here yet? I said, it's sinking in now as we have to leave to go home. Because it was a tremendous honor and unbelievable. I have notebooks and notebooks of notes that I have to go through. And I just got back a few days ago, and I got right into the busyness of getting some articles written and some things set up and interviews. So I haven't had a chance to really delve into everything, but it's all in my heart and been praying, and just amazing, amazing information we were given and affirmation, don't you think? Affirmation about our roles as women. And
what did you take away from the conference? I mean, in your ministry, you speak and you write as I do, but you speak on different topics, mainly on motherhood. What did you take away from the conference for yourself and also for your particular line of work in Christian ministry?
Well, that's so hard to pinpoint just like in one thought. There's so many things I believe I took away that I will still learn as I pray and go through everything, you know, that I'm sure that our Lord is going to be filling me with more of what I am to do. But just even in Cardinal Relko's message to us at the beginning, I love, you know, I jotted down quickly what he said, we as Christians must give witness to the world that to live one's proper identity, masculine or feminine, in Christ is both possible and beautiful. However, to do so requires a continual conversion of heart and a constant return to the beginning, that is, the initial pages of Genesis when God created them, male and female, and to the newness of life that Christ has brought us. This is the specific contribution that we as Christians offer to today's great anthropological challenges, which we are reflecting upon during this conference. So what a mouthful. I mean, drawn back to a continual conversion of heart, which is what we're called to do as Christians, you know, constantly. So, you know, to do that and to also, I was really struck by his words ending the conference,
yes,
too, and, you know, to be salt and light. And Pope Benedict's words, which we can go into a little bit later. At the time, I didn't understand them because they were in Italian, right? And mm-hmm. after I read the translation, you know, I knew what he said to us. But, you know, to be salt and light, and that's what I've been trying to encourage women with all of these years. And, you know, we all have our missions, and to... It's not just Teresa out there on the radio, or it's not me up there speaking with you, or these women and men at the conference. It's all of us. We each have our mission, and we're called to come together and to be refreshed and to reflect upon these amazing, profound words of our late Holy Father, Pope John Paul II. What amazing words he had for women and men. So what I came away with is just, again, a... affirmation of my mission, you know, that mm-hmm. of all of our missions, and to, you know, continue, put one foot in front of the other each day, and to continue to pray, and to ask to be a witness, to ask to be an example, and to continue to help mothers and women and families in my humble way, you know, just asking our Lord to work through this, you know, little meek and mild woman here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay, and I wanted to, I wanted to hear more. I wanted to really just kind of just sit there and just soak up all that wisdom and knowledge.
Oh, I know. It was very, very difficult. You know, it was very difficult to leave. It was just so much. And like I said, I think it's going to take a while for it all to sink in and to even to understand it all fully. But, you know, there will be other times in God's grace and God's, you know, will. Hopefully, maybe we'll meet again in another 20 years, or mm-hmm. you never know. But this was, I think, a history-making Congress, and it was just an amazing honor to be able to be part of that.
Yeah, it really was. It's something, it was probably, as I said in my newsletter that went out last week, probably the most affirming and uplifting faith event I've ever attended. I wanted to go back to what you said about Cardinal Rocco. And by the way, if you have a question for myself or Donna about the International Congress or about the document Mulieris Dignitatum, you can give us a call at 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. You mentioned the fact that he talked to us about being salt and light.
Yes.
He said, salt is a minority, but it gives flavor. Yes. Yeast is a minority, but it makes dough rise.
I love it.
Christ tells us, we are the salt of the world, we are the light of the world. Be yourself, be who you are, be that which you have become in baptism.
Yes.
And then he went, you must go back from this conference knowing that you have been sent and that Christ is counting on each of us. That's what really got me.
Yes, and then his words, you know, with much encouragement in the same, you know, in the same talk to us, you know, come down from the mountain and mm-hmm. go against the current, be a contradiction, giving witness. You know, when he said, be not afraid that we seem to be a minority. You know, salt is a minority, but it gives flavor. Yeast is a minority, but makes the whole dough rise. And he also warned us to be careful not to feel invisible or insignificant or worn out, mm-hmm. because Christ has told us that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You know, boy, it just, again, just that affirmation and that, you know, that knowledge that we are to do this. And as Father Hardin used to always say to me, I can't help but go back to that every time I think about this, he always said there's work to be done, and he had a sparkle in his eye, and he put his arms in a certain way, like, you know, hey, there's work to be done, and we've got it cut out for us. Look at, you know, sadly, there are so many wounded around us, like you had mentioned, you know, because of the sexual revolution. I know Genevieve Konecki mentions that all the time, you know, mm-hmm. poor women. There's a lot of fallout from that, casualties and deaths, you know, to the tune of how many abortions?
53 million a year around the world.
Yeah. Or I should say, mm-hmm. Mamma Mia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I learned in Rome anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I know that Genevieve did a great job of summarizing the points. And by the way, if people are want to check out more about Genevieve Konecki, she's done a great job putting together a website dedicated to myself, Donna, and other women who are speaking on this document. And they also have a link to the Vatican documents and also the conference that we attended. It's dignityofwomen.com if you'd like to check it out, dignityofwomen.com. But Genevieve sent around this great email, Donna. I know you saw it, and this was kind of debriefing us on what the main points were, and kind of, you know, we all had notes written down on these topics, and I just want to list them, and then I wanted to add the one that I added to the bottom of it. Christian anthropology best reveals the dignity of women. Sexual revolution has degraded everyone, women in particular. Women have collaborated on their own degradation, which I think was an important point, and Helen Alvory did a great job of talking about this in her presentation. Feminists may have had legitimate gripes and concerns in the beginning, but responded with bitterness and envy. Gender ideology is particularly insidious for a variety of reasons. Gospel message of Jesus Christ of repentance and forgiveness at the heart of every woman's healing, whatever our issues are.
Yeah.
Men and women must collaborate for the good of society, each living the richness of their vocation. And this is the one I added, that the culture and the mass media are greatly impacting women and families, not only in the U.S. and, you know, advanced countries and developed countries, but in third world countries as well. That came out over and over again.
Oh, it certainly did. Yes, it did. And aren't you proud of the fact that we have three fine, at least that I know of, three fine representatives of the United States there, Dale O'Leary,
mm-hmm.
Genevieve Konecki, and Helen Alvory. They did a wonderful, they each gave wonderful presentations, and so that was really nice to be part of that delegation coming from the United States.
I'm working to get as many of the presenters on, also some of the other delegates, too. I heard from
Colleen
Carroll Campbell, who wrote me yesterday that she and her husband John are back, had a great time with them. What a wonderful witness she is as well.
Oh, yes, and Elizabeth and her husband.
Yep, Elizabeth Kirk.
Bill
and
their little baby Will. You know, we got to meet them, and we were able to, I liked the fact that we did get short respites of coffee break or the meals that they gave us, you know, to have that time to partake in conversation, to get to network a little bit and get to know some of the people. It was overwhelming, wasn't it, though, Teresa? 260 people from all around the world and, you know, to try to figure out who you wanted to speak with and how much.
Yeah, it was overwhelming. I also thought, though, it was interesting to know how much is being done in various parts of the world that women are really making a difference. I remember having a fascinating conversation with a woman who's a pro-life activist in Great Britain and a pro-life activist in Italy. There were two women, Olympia, one of the ones who spoke, and then also a woman from Great Britain who was in our breakout session on Saturday after the audience with the Pope. And how much is being done where these women are just at the highest levels, not only in politics, but in education, healthcare, and are really out there making a difference. And yet the world, the secular media, paints such a different picture of Catholic, Christian women, especially women in the Catholic Church.
I know it. That's why there's so much work to be done, and we just really have to do it and really have to get the word out there. And this year of 2008, I believe, is filled with graces and blessings. We have this 20th anniversary. We have a lot of anniversaries this year, but this one of this amazing apostolic letter, you know, for women, the first one written and directed toward just women. And so throughout this year, I would like everyone to know that you should all try to, within your own diocese and parishes, you know, see what you can get started. And also, Teresa and I are going to offer something to you in a while, right, Teresa? You
yes, we'll mention that toward the end of the interview. You and I felt a calling to get together and present seminars around the country, a whole day of reflection for women on the document, on the Congress and on the document, and really where do we go from here? How do we apply it to our daily lives?
But I'd like to encourage everyone to you know, it's wonderful to hear, you know, this on the radio and to hear the others that are going to come on Teresa's show or to you know, read up in the articles that we've written or others have written, but what are you going to do? Can you please put together something? Go to the Dignity of Women website was mentioned, and on that website, actually, you can get the, I know Teresa mentioned that you might not be able to get the apostolic
lawyer
signatata, but you can print it out right from that website. You could also get a study guide. There are study guides available. You can get one of those and get together with a group of women or men and women and study it at your parish or your home. So there are many, many things you can do, even just to study it, which is amazing and which is very, very important. So this way you can be an example to others, but to try to also set up some talks and days of reflection and retreats. And you can look at the list of speakers on that website as well, because those are some speakers who will come and, you know, speak to you about this document.
Do you think, in your travels as a speaker, do you think more people are starting to actually take time to read the documents? Because that's one of the things I really felt called to talk about, is that we have got to stop listening to the secular media and start seeing what the church actually teaches.
Well, that's an excellent question, Teresa, because, you know, I've always used this beautiful letter in my work with women and families, and because it's just profound truths written by Pope John Paul II. They're so relevant today, and it's really interesting to watch the women in the audiences when I speak to them about the dignity and their dignity as a human being and as a woman, And most of the times when I quote the document, and tears are flowing from their eyes, because a lot of women are not familiar with these beautiful words from Pope John Paul II or many of the other encyclicals and documents of our church. So I always feel it's my job, too, to very lovingly and kindly direct them to these things, because they may, so that they don't feel badly that they're not aware of them, because they're not taught to look for these and to research them. Because as Christians, we need to constantly feed ourselves. We're not going to get it all, you know, in a homily at Mass. We have to, you know, learn. We have to constantly, that continual conversion, you know, that we're told about, the conversion of heart, and to feed ourselves. So I find that women are really, they're very moved by this apostolic letter, and I do think that we really need to use this year and hopefully, you know, continue on, but use this beautiful year filled with grace to get the word out and reflect upon it and teach it and learn it, get everything we can out of it.
Do you have any events coming up, Donna? Are we going to be talking about this in your area?
I do. When you ask me, I never know.
Is it on your website, though? Your different
yeah, things? On my website. I have some things coming out, like in March 29th in Connecticut, Danbury, Connecticut, at the Border Store, actually. There will be a tea and fellowship, and it's going to be about the Vatican trip and the document and my new book coming out, Catholic Saints Prayer Book, happens to be coming out in March. And I'll also have something the following Saturday in New Milford, Connecticut, at Bank Street Book Nook. But I have some, I have a retreat coming up April 26th in Stratford, Connecticut. It's a women's retreat, and we'll be talking about the document. And there's a few others, and they're on the website. I'll also be in near Chicago at the RBTE with my new book coming out. But that
okay.
won't be a
and
topic.
Give us your website again, too.
Oh, it's www.donnacooperoboyle.com, DonnaCooperOboyle.com. And from the website, you can get to the two blogs. And on the blogs, Daily Donna Marie and Embracing Motherhood, are the ones, those are the places that I really update, usually daily. When you go to the main website, go to the blogs and you'll see more current information.
Well, let's take a question from Kathy calling from Ohio this morning. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
I loved hearing about Ethel and Lucy.
Thank you.
You would have gotten the biggest kick out of us, though, because we were really Ethel and Lucy. It was like that one, you know, where they showed her on the candy line, you know, stuffing the chocolates. And it was like we were totally Ethel and Lucy. It was funny the first few days. Then we got our act together, though, and then we presented a very nice picture for the United States of America. Just
but
want you to know that.
But well, No one saw us doing these funny things.
Yes, really.
It was just private between us, and I said, I think we're like Lucy and Ethel. So it was just a funny thing for us the whole trip. It's like we... And then, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but then I couldn't even look in Teresa's eyes without laughing.
Without laughing.
That's wonderful. That is truly a sister
relationship.
Mm-hmm. I love
yes.
it. I have a question.
Sure.
I have a niece who has just graduated from college and is going to be going to medical school. Mm. And I've been talking with her about some things, but I wonder, what would you tell young women? She's discerning whether to get married to a young man who's not of the faith. She's going to be going to medical school. What can I be telling her? She's going to be going to medical school where they don't tell you about the importance of a family or about the blessedness of having babies and maintaining children. What would be an important thing to tell her?
Well, I'll start, and then I'll let Donna take it. But I would think, Kathy, if she is Catholic and she's practicing her faith and she has an interest in her faith, then I would definitely recommend that she, you know, read the document, the Iuris Dignitatum, and find out more about the Christian anthropology, especially if she's going into medicine, to understand the makeup of women and men. And that would give her a real good basis in terms of medicine, because certainly the Church is not against science, but is for ethical science. And I think if she were to read that document and if she were to pray to ask God to show her how to lead her in her medical profession. Also, in Mulieris Dignitatum, there's a lot about family and a woman's role as a mother, not only as a mother giving birth, but as a spiritual mother as well. So I think that would be a good start. And I would lead her to dignityofwomen.com, the website, because the documents are on there. There's a lot of great information. And, you know, this is, I thought going into this conference that a lot of this stuff would be over my head. It wasn't. There wasn't anything that, of course, I don't have the degrees that some of the presenters do, my degrees in communications. But it really was presented in a way that was very understandable. And these documents are written that way, too. I think Mulieris Dignitatum is very clear and very beautiful. I think she'll walk away really being proud to be Catholic and also excited about going into medicine. It'll help her discern her role as a wife and a mother. Donna, anything you want to add?
Well, I think that was the perfect answer. I would just add that, you know, hopefully she wouldn't be afraid to be a contradiction as well, you know, to anything that does go against the faith. And, you know, so to, you know, just be firm in her faith, solid in her faith, and to be surround herself with like-minded people, you know, who believe in the faith.
And also to talk with, I think, Catholic medical professionals about the field of medicine, get some advice from them, like maybe from the Catholic Medical Association or Nurses for Life, to get their perspective of what it's like, you know, working in that field as someone trying to keep your faith intact. Mm-hmm. Okay? Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much. Great question. Don, I wanted us to wrap up the segment this morning by letting people know that during the conference, one of the things that the Lord gave us was that we should be doing seminars together, Mulieris Dignitatum, and you specifically with your interest in helping moms, and especially young moms, and then my interest in cultural awareness for women and for families. And so if people would like us to come out and do a day of reflection, all you got to do is contact Donna through her website or me through my website. Both of us can be contacted directly through dignityofwomen.com. Again, dignityofwomen.com. I already have, I think I told you this when I was in Rome with you, I already have a big conference that I'm doing with Janet Morana that's coming up in the Archdiocese of Newark. And that's a week from Saturday. That's March 1st. And it's going to be at Seton Hall. And it's actually, all the information is on my website. You can go to teresatamio.com. And if you're on the East Coast or if you're nearby, you can check it out. I have a phone number of 973-497-4008, 973-497-4008. And Janet and I will be talking about this week when she joins me on the program. Donna, give us your website again.
www.donnacooperoboyle.com. You know, my name is Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, but you just punch in donnacooperoboyle.com. And you can get to my blogs through that way. And Teresa and I will both have some articles and things coming up.
Yeah, you've got a couple coming out, one in Lay Witness Magazine, right?
Lay Witness Magazine will be in the online edition. That will be coming out soon. One will be in Canticle. That will be more toward the anniversary date itself in August. You can catch a Vatican interview with Joan Lewis. I'm sure Teresa's will be on as well at some point. You can check that through my blog. I was it aired yesterday and the day before, but I'll link.
And that was on her program, Vatican Insider.
Yeah, so that was wonderful. What a beautiful friendship that was, too. Fast friendship with Joan Lewis.
She's amazing.
She's a doll. Yeah. And so there'll be many other things that I'll link to my blog as they come along with the various interviews and news stories. But Teresa and I hope that you'll not be afraid to contact us, and if we could help in any way, we'd love to do it, and we are very thankful to our Lord for bringing us together.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, or a.k.a. Ethel.
Yes, Lucy, I guess I got stuck with Ethel, but okay. Not that there's anything wrong with Ethel. We write our emails back and forth together.
Oh, it's so funny. Lucy. Well, we've been having a great time together as friends, and the Lord brought us together, and I'm so grateful to know you and to have you on the program. And I look forward, God willing, doing some seminars together,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm hoping and praying. And I'm very thankful, too, that our Lord gave us that chapel right below our where we were staying.
Oh, that was amazing.
We visit each night. We just came upon this chapel, and we went in, and we knelt on the floor, and prayed.
And he even got us front row seats, or very close to front row seats, yes, of the audience, because we prayed on our knees just saying, Lord, we know it might be a little bit selfish of us, but we really like to get as close to the Holy Father as possible. And we did.
And
he
we said, did.
Yes.
God was so good. Two times. Well, you three with that mass, but that the audience, we were in the front row. Which
amen. We're running out of time, sweetie. I gotta let you go. But hang on. I want to talk to you during the break. And thank you again for all that you do. Again, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, her website, DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com. A.K.A. Ethel, this is Lucy signing off. We'll be right back with Dr. Meg Meeker. It's 35 minutes past the hour now.